hour number three of Sammy and Scraby here on 97.3 The Fan. Tony Gwynn Jr. making his way back to Peoria, Arizona from Mesa, Arizona. And we're going to talk about Michael King here. We're going to just kind of do a roundup of stories of the day. So Michael King with Ben and Woods at the end said that there have been no discussions, Sam, with Michael King for a contract extension. I don't think that we kind of expected. I don't know that we expected for a contract extension. But the more I think about it, the more I think they have to make this happen before the season starts, before he has another incredible season and his price goes way up.
Well, look, I would love it because I think the world of Michael King, I think the best has yet to come with Michael King. I think he's just getting started as a really, really, really good starting pitcher in this league. The question is going to come down to, look, I'm sure A.J. Preller and the Padres would love to keep him around for a long time. But if Michael goes out and has a season like he did a year ago, Michael King's going to get a big-time contract next offseason. I'm talking $100-plus million type of deal. So you'd love to get it done before the season comes because maybe you could get some sort of bargain, some sort of not discount, but you could get him before, hypothetically, he goes out and has another great year, which, you know, if you're the Padres, you want him to do because he's pitching for you, even if it means the price goes up. I think the question becomes, we know with some of the financial limitations the Padres have been under this offseason, are they in any kind of position to execute on something like that? And look, we'll see what the situation is next offseason. There's a ton of money coming off the books. Right now, they're above the luxury tax first threshold, which a couple of weeks ago, I don't think anybody, you know, well, I don't want to say not that anybody saw it coming, but I think there were major doubts whether they would be able to do that. And at this moment, they are. And seemingly no trade to get back under it is imminent. So I think there's a pretty solid chance they're going to start the year above that that first threshold. So, you know, you never know. Could something get done during the season? You know, if Michael King is having a great year, look, if I'm him, I want to go to free agency, mm-hmm. right? If he's having a great year, in my mind, if I'm Michael King, I'm going to free agency.
Yeah, you're
going to
make, that's where you're going to make the money.
I want to play out the market. That's where you're going to make the most money. So I would probably, for that reason, think it's a little unlikely, both because of what the Padres have been limited by financially and also because of the quality of pitcher Michael King is and what he could get in the open market next offseason. But I would say this, if Michael King was open to an extension right now, and if the Padres could figure out a way to do it, then I'm 100% signing up for that. Now, we talk about his value being the highest in the open market. You know, this, you can play the other side of that coin, and certainly I'm not wishing this on Michael King, but if Michael King doesn't have the same kind of year, you know, then it's his free agency is going to be very, very interesting because he's going to have 2 years of starting under his belt. He'd have one great year. And again, I'm not wishing this on him. I'm just playing hypotheticals. And then one not so good year. And I don't know what the open market at that point would really make of Michael King. He'd be a very interesting free agent. So, of course, I'd be interested. So, you know, look, there would be an argument for him to try to get a deal done and guarantee himself a good chunk of money, you know, even if it's not what he would get on the open market after a great year. But there's an argument to that for sure. There's always an argument if you're a player to secure guaranteed money yep. when you can. Mm-hmm. There's always that argument. So I'd love it. I don't know if it's realistic right now, but I think on the field, I'm fairly confident in saying that Michael's going to have a really, really nice second year as a starter. I just don't see any reason why he's not going to have a really good year.
You know, and I know that this doesn't really mean anything in the full scheme of things, but he really has put down some roots in San Diego. He started that foundation that the Padres are helping him with, and so it's not like he's just here as a rental in San Diego. It seems like he's actually making himself part of San Diego, and again, you can take your foundation anywhere, but he did start it here, and I'm sure he started here for a reason, because he wanted to start it in San Diego.
Yeah, I think Michael really likes being here. That's the sense I got last year. That's the sense that he got from that interview. So I think he really likes being here. I also think that, you know, he's a baseball player, and when he's a free agent, I think where the best offer is going to speak loud to him.
Yes.
So we'll see. Look, if you're the Padres, like Ben and Woods alluded to at the end of that, at the end of the interview, look, you are rooting for Michael King to drive his price up because you want him to be good this year for you. So, look, if he drives his price up, he drives his price up. That's a good problem to have.
Very good.
Good for Michael if he does that. So, look, I would love it if they could figure out a way to get it done, because I think Michael's going to be a really good starting pitcher for a really long time. Like I said earlier, to me, when I look at those Cy Young odds, and we were looking at the odds a little bit earlier and kind of determining where the best value would be odds wise if you were a betting man, I think there's tremendous value on Michael King
+2200.
Because to me, he's not yet, I suppose, to a lot of people, the household name, but to me, he's got Cy Young caliber stuff, no doubt, like dominant Cy Young caliber stuff. So we'll see.
Joseph says on the chat, I think a majority of people want the extension to go to King overseas. Please, please, please bring King back. I get that sentiment as well, like the feeling out there, but I don't know why, because Dylan Cease is good. And I think Dylan Cease is a little bit, he was less consistent at the end of the year, so maybe that's part of it.
Yeah. If I had to pick one, I'd say King. It's an interesting question. Look, for as much as I'm loving on Michael King here on this show today, and it's all deserved, it's rightfully so, Michael's also got to prove it again this year. I mean, this is sort of the next step for Michael King, and I have no doubt that if he's healthy, he can. But he's got to prove it. I mean, that is a part of this. There is no guarantee that he goes out and he's as good as a year ago. And let's not forget, there were some struggles for Michael King early last season where he gave up a lot of home runs. Then he figured it out and he settled in and he was great. I mean, he was tremendous for what, a 3-4 month stretch and into the postseason. So he's still got something to prove. I think the thing with Michael King is I don't know that we really know what his ceiling is yet and like what he ultimately can be. You know, Dylan Cease, I think at his peak is obviously unbelievable. I mean, as dominant gets in the major leagues. He was up and down last year, though. I mean, there were stretches where you couldn't hit him. There were stretches where it wasn't nearly as great. So he was a little bit more roller coastery in the last couple of years for Dylan Cease, have been a little bit more up and down. So you can make that argument. But I would say that I think we have a better idea of Dylan's ceiling and kind of who he is. So you can make the arc. You could sell me on, well, I kind of know what Dylan Cease is. I know what he is at his peak. You know, Michael King, I've seen one season of it, but before I'm going to hand him, you know, $100+ million, I want to see it again. And that's fair. I lean King personally, if I had to pick between the two, no disrespect to Cease.
Yeah, no, there is none.
I think I'd lean King, but, It's a tough one.
It is
but
a tough
look,
one.
Look, bottom line is this. If you're the Padres, you want those guys driving up their price this year, because that means both have been really, really good, and they need those guys to be really, really good.
Eddie said, who had more playoff wins in 2024? The answer, obviously, is Michael King, but who had the no-hitter in 2024? Dylan Cease. So there's benefits to each side. I do think Michael King's outing against the Braves is what people are thinking about in the wild card round. I think it was 7+ innings, maybe 11 strikeouts. He was just incredible. And Dylan Cease, he started that game against the Dodgers on short rest, put the Padres in trouble early, and I think that's what maybe fans are latching on there. And Dylan Cease is not a bad pitcher because he let the Dodgers into the game early. Dylan Cease was throwing on short rest. There was a lot there when he did that. And so I can't think that you're going to judge him off of that performance alone.
No. You know, Dylan hasn't had a, you know, like a premier start in the playoffs yet, including, I think, the one he made with the White Sox. You know, look, if
the White Sox made the playoffs in the last, like, 5 years?
No. Yes.
Wow.
They made it in 22.
I believe you. I believe you. It's just crazy.
Yeah. No, Dylan definitely made a playoff start with them. I think that was 22.
I'll look it up.
Could have been 21 even. I think it was 22. Yeah, look it up. Off the top of my head, I think it's 22. Yeah, I mean, look, you would love to have either of those guys long term. You know, we'll see if the Padres make the playoffs again. They're going to, you know, turn to Dylan Cease to be one of those guys that comes up with big time performances. So that would be good. We're a long ways away from having to worry about that. A lot of games to play before that. So we'll see. But you would love to have either of those guys for the long term. And, you know, I think it depends, A, how they pitch, what their value is at the end of the year, what their potential contracts look like at the end of the year, and what the Padres' financial situation is and what they're willing to spend and if they have the ability to dole out that kind of deal. Because I think no doubt if both of those guys are, you know, pitching to pretty close to their peak powers this season, those are going to be hefty contracts. Those are going to be $100+ million contracts for sure for both those guys, I would think.
I mean, if you're looking at his postseason pitching log, Dylan Cease, you're right. It was 2021, but he's made the playoffs three separate seasons, 2020, 2021, and then last year, 2024. But he has struggled in the playoffs. The furthest he's gone into a game is 3 1/3 in four starts.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. Brian in the chat, and I'm going to put this up, is asking, you think King would take the Musgrove special 5 years, $100 million?
No.
Well, here's what I would say. At this moment, before this season, Brian, I think he'd heavily consider it. I mean, if you were guaranteeing $100 million to a guy who has 1 year of starting experience...
He may see that as valuable.
I think you're taking that if you're Michael King, in my opinion. If you could guarantee 100 after you've started for one season, I mean, to be honest with you, I don't think the Padres would offer that much. Like, I think that might be even a little high.
You know, honestly,
I do, and I think I think the world of Michael King.
Yeah.
I do. I think that would be a little high, in the dollar number. Maybe a little high. If I were Michael King, I'm taking that.
You know, I quickly said no, but you're probably right. I mean, and even if he takes money and he outpitches the contract, he still is able to renegotiate a contract of 5 years.
He's still at 100. I mean, it's...
Pitchers can pitch until they're 35, 40 sometimes now.
Right. It's also not, you know, I don't think it's all that dissimilar from Joe's situation at the time where Joe was really, really good. And if he hit the open market, depending on what happened, you know, maybe he ends up getting more than 100, but at the time, you know, was guaranteeing himself $100 million. You know, I think in retrospect, just looking at, Joe's injury. I mean, look, this would have happened well after his free agency at this point. But look, he guaranteed himself $100 million. So I do think there's value in that. If the Padres put 5 years, $100 million in front of Michael King today, I would think there's a really good chance King would take that.
My spot track, because, I love the spot track market value of contracts, and they're saying that his market value is 4 years and around $72 million, which is 17.8.
Right, so that's pretty much, that's close. Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, add on a year and a little bit more money, and that's going to be around that AAV. So... look, the risk I think Michael would run, and how old is Michael King? Off the top of my head, I want to say he's 28.
Right here. He's 29.
He's 29.
Okay. Oh, that's right. I forgot. We have the same birthday. We're 10 years apart.
He's going to turn 30 in May.
May 25th.
So he'll be a 30-year-old free agent. Oh, I'm taking that if I'm Michael King.
Yeah, that does change some things.
Yeah, now the only risk he would run with that is he has an amazing Cy Young season this year, which he's certainly capable of, and he could get even more in the open market at 30 years old and sign a 4, 5, 6 year deal, you know, for upwards of $100 million. But you know, you run the risk of that, of the season not going that way.
Yeah, so, totally. No, it's a really, really amazing problem for Michael King to have. I would love to be able to be like, should I take my $100 million now, or should I pitch next year or this year and hope for a $35 million AAV next year? I mean, it's a good spot to be in. All right, Sammy and Scraby, 97.3 The Fan. Tony should be joining us shortly. Sam won the bet. I said he was going to be here by 4, and he was not here by 4, so Sam wins that one. But he'll be with us until Tony gets here. Coming up next, we'll talk a little bit about some of the random stories of the day. And also, we have at the end of the hour the Big 5, so stick around for that. But right,
more Taylor Swift.
More Taylor Swift?
Yes, that's the story I'm looking at.
Okay,
here.
Right now, we'll get to that. Right now is your second and final chance to win a 4-pack of tickets to a Padres spring training game at the Peoria Sports Complex, and you're also qualified for the grand prize, 4 tickets to the Padres and Guardians game at Petco Park on April 2nd. Get your spring training tickets now at PeoriaBaseball.com. Your chance is now. Caller number 3. And that stands for Jackson Merrill's number, 833-288-0973. Call us now.
Hey, everyone. Tony Gwynn Jr. here. Make the most of your outdoor space with Moon Valley Nurseries. Locally grown trees arriving daily and ready to be delivered to you. They design, deliver, and plant, and you get to enjoy. Get the yard of your dreams with Moon Valley Nursery. They do it all so you can relax and enjoy. It's just that simple. You are only one call away from the yard of your dreams. Schedule your free design consultation and let Moon Valley Nurseries handle the rest. Get the yard you deserve only at Moon Valley Nurseries.
San Diego to Tijuana, bus leaving in 3 minutes.
Hey, how are you, babe?
Hi, I'm good, but I wish you were here in Tijuana.
I know, I wish you were here in San Diego. Hey, I just sent you a song.
I love it, but it made me miss you even more.
Next stop, Tijuana Central Bus Terminal.
Hey, go outside.
Wait, why?
What? What are you doing here?
Surprise.
With AT&T, use your plan in Mexico like in the 619. Two countries, one network. Only with AT&T. Available for U.S. customers. Requires eligible plan. Additional speed, coverage, and other restrictions apply. Visit att.com.
Congratulations to Evan. He is the winner of the Peoria Sports Complex ticket package. We will have, I believe, one more tomorrow, so keep an ear out. We'll be trying to get you to Peoria and also those Padres and Guardians tickets on April 2nd, I believe, is what that was. Yes, April 2nd. Coming up at 5:30, remember to listen for your name, and we will announce the biggest fan for a chance to qualify for a night in our Odyssey suite at a future Padres game. Register your name at 973thefansd.com/biggestfan in order to potentially have your name called. Now, Sam told me something in the break. He needs to get something he saw on Facebook.
Oh,
out there.
Yeah, it was really funny. And since we're not doing dating advice today, we had a free segment here, so we didn't know what to talk about. So I got an ad on my Facebook, and I rarely go on Facebook. I should mention
I never go on Facebook.
It says, calling all singles in San Diego. Attention, 30-ish straight men.
This is so
Are you a
already.
Single guy who is 30-ish and somewhat decent at cornhole?
What? This is an ad?
What? Yeah, I guess. I guess it's a dating cornhole event. Won't.
Okay.
Won't find me there.
You won't find me there either, but I get it, but that is such a strange thing to read.
I know. I was like, what is this?
If you're a 30-ish... if you're a 30-ish straight guy and you're good at cornhole, this is the meetup for you.
Apparently.
I'm not good at cornhole.
I'm not clicking on that link. I'm scared.
I'm not good at cornhole. Have you been getting these texts lately,
I was like,
Sam?
What is this?
Have you been getting these texts? Because I get a lot of like random texts from people I don't know, and it's very like normal conversation. Like someone texted me last week saying, "Hey, I'm coming to San Diego next week. Can we get dinner?" Question mark. And I didn't know the number in my phone, so of course they want you to write back and say, "Hey, who is this?" And then they'll like, "Oh, I'm sorry, it's the wrong number." And then they'll try to scam
you. Oh, I get those all the time.
Yeah, they'll try to scam you. It's so weird though, because I'm sitting there thinking, do I know this person? Is someone actually coming to San Diego? I got another one that was like, "Oh, hey, what are you doing on Friday night? It would be nice to meet up." And I'm thinking, there is no woman in this world that's texting me that. So this has got to be fake. It's got to be fake. It's kind of weird, though. It's very weird. Very weird.
Yeah, I get those.
And do you respond to them? Because you're not supposed to respond to them.
Sometimes I play with them a little bit.
You do?
Yeah, sometimes.
Like what?
I'm trying to find a text. Like, what do they usually say? They usually say, like, party. Like, "Oh, do you remember me from the party?"
Yeah, that's exactly one of them for sure.
Yeah, they sometimes say, like, "Do you remember me from the party?" So I want to search words in my phone. It'll be like, "Hi, is this Brenda?" I'll be like, "Yeah, this is Brenda." And I'll be like, "Do you remember me from the party?" I'll be like, "What party?" "Jim's party last weekend." They're like, "Oh, that was really fun." Yeah, I play with them.
That's pretty good.
But I'm always afraid with those that somehow during the course of the conversation, they're somehow hacking into my phone.
Well, that's what I was going to say, is that sometimes now you can
somehow
click
hacking
a thing.
Into my phone.
Yeah, you can type back or whatever, and you can do that, but it takes a little bit. When I was a drinker, my friends hated when I used to get too drunk and embarrass myself. So they played a trick on me one day, and it was a really, really, really good trick. And I didn't remember the night before. So they had someone random call me the next day and be like, "Hey, we met in the bar last night," and they gave me the bar. They gave me like the where we were at the bar. "And you are just one of the best people I've ever met. I really, really need to meet up with you again." And so I'm like, "Oh my gosh, man, this is great. Like, I don't remember anything. This is awesome." So I'm like, "All right, let's meet up." And then, like, after about 10 minutes, my friend texted me, "Haha, stop getting so drunk at the bar." That was my friend. But not a very good joke. I was very upset about that joke, but there you go. Brandon said, "I got a new scam text today about a job for TikTok corporate working at home." I have got job texts, too. So, let's see. There was another one. Oh, M. McKee said she's still getting a lot of
toll. Oh, I got that.
Ones.
Oh, Dominic saying, I get the toll road scam text. I got that the other day.
Yes, yes. We talked about this a couple weeks ago when Braden was on the show. I have been trying to pay my toll road bill from Christmas, and I couldn't for the longest time, and they were trying to get money. A listener contacted the toll people of California, and the toll people of California got back to the listener and said they're going to look into it. The person, our listener,
really?
Sent the radio segment to this toll road people.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. Those toll roads, I've had to do those a couple of times. And I find that whole thing weird because, like, they don't actually send it. If you don't have the pass, they don't actually send you a bill saying, "Oh, this is what you owe."
No, you
you're
have
just
to go
expected
seek it
to
out.
Pay
yeah.
it. Right. You have to go seek it out. And if you don't seek it out and pay it, then they tell you, "Oh, you're late." If you don't pay it, there's going to be a lien on your car. Like,
yeah.
That whole thing, that's ridiculous to me that you have to go seek it out, that they don't send you some sort of bill.
I mean, because they don't really notify you. They do notify you when you're getting on the road, but I could see how people wouldn't know once they got on a toll that it was a toll road and that they had to pay.
Right.
So I know that Braden got one up in Irvine, and he just was like, "I'm not going to pay it." I was like, "That's not the way to go, Braden." But
yeah.
I ended up... finally paying mine, but it took
me over a
month.
Adam is saying you get
a letter in the mail. I did.
In the mail. But here's the thing. I've never got a letter in the mail from that says, "Oh, you went through such and such on such and such road on this date. This is what you owe. Pay it by this date."
I got one of those.
I only get the "You're late. You haven't paid it." I never get the initial, "Here's what you need to pay."
Well, that's weird. Where is your car registered to your address, or is it registered somewhere else? Because if it's registered somewhere else, it'll... Okay, that's
weird. No. I get the mail saying you need to pay.
They sent me a sheet that had like a picture of my license plate in my car driving through the bridge toll, and so it gave me my invoice number too.
Huh.
Yeah, but
I don't know. Maybe the only time I've ever done this is that one road to the right of the east of the 5. That sometimes, like if you follow a GPS that takes you the fastest way, and you say, "Oh, I'm okay with tolls."
Oh, yeah. There's a toll road I always take up in Irvine, but it's because my family lives off of the toll road, so I have to do that. Anyway.
I'm up to date on all my tolls.
Yes, I'm up to date on my tolls, too, so let's just knock on wood, make sure I'm good on that. Johnny says, you really owe, they will send you a letter in the mail. Yes, I know.
Well, that's what I've got.
All right. Well, there we go. Toll Talk.
All right,
there's our
radio
show name, Toll Talk. That's our show name. All right. On the other side, we will talk about Travis Kelce. We will talk about a lot of stuff in the Big 5. There are rumors about a new NBA All-Star festivity. And the PGA Tour had something happen today that has only happened 15 times in the history of the PGA Tour. Are you grunting because you're not a fan of the All-Star thing or what?
The NBA All-Star game was awful.
Okay.
And I'm not, you know me, I'm not a golf guy, so can handle that
calm
one.
Calm down. It's not like an actual
Do a pickleball
okay.
topic.
I will search for a pickleball topic in
that,
the break.
You know what? Next segment, we're going to squeeze that in. I have a lot of feelings on pickleball here in Arizona.
All right. Sounds good. We'll talk about that on the other side.
I'm very unhappy with what's going on.
Sam, have you ever been to Jamaica?
Nope.
Me neither, but I would love to hear some steel drums in Jamaica, that is for sure. Sammy and Scraby, 97.3 The Fan. Now, I think we probably need to get right to the Big 5 because we have a huge pickleball topic. So let's waste no time. Here's Kelly Danick, then the Big 5.
It's that time of the show when we check on only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one, the only.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
The Big 5 starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
Okay. The Big 5, we all know what it's all about. Let's just get into it, because we need to talk about something.
Number 5.
And then I'm going to ask Sam a question at the end. So, Sam, the floor is yours. What is it that you want to get out about Arizona pickleball?
You said this was going to be in the Big 5.
We are in a topic of the Big 5. And then I'm going to ask you the question.
What I wanted to get out quickly, I expressed this today, earlier, in San Diego, for you San Diego pickleballers out there, you know what I'm talking about. You go to an open play, you've got whatever number of courts that you're using, you line up your paddles, and the four people that are in line, you play in some combination of teams.
Okay.
And the next four people after that, and the next four paddles after that. This is easy, it's fun. It's, you know, maybe you're doing win or stay on, so it's two paddles, but just four paddles, you play. You're there to play. Quick games, let's get a workout in, bang, bang, bang.
Bada bing, bada
here bing. In Arizona, I've been to two places now, two open play places. I'm not going to name the names. I don't know what's going on. Some people only want to play with other people. The paddle rack is all weird with letters and numbers, and there's a clip, and I don't know what's going on. Then, you know, people are standing around. They don't know where to go, where to play. Some people are waiting to play with this person, and these two only want to play together. But so convoluted. Like, makes it legitimately not nearly as fun. Yesterday, I was playing pickleball for like an hour and a half to 2 hours. I played a grand total of 4 matches, which is really not a lot.
What do you guys usually play up to?
11.
11, and that's like a standard score?
Yes.
And then how many rounds do you play? Like, how do you, like, is it like tennis
One.
In that way?
I don't know about like major league pickleball, but in just recreational pickleball, typically you play one match, one game.
One. Well, okay, so that doesn't seem like a lot of exercise.
No, it depending on the game, it can be a very quick
game. Got it. Okay.
Or it could be a little bit longer.
Okay. All
it
right.
Depends, you know, it depends on the competition, depends on how competitive the game
but
is.
But once the game is over, you could just restart another game.
Of course.
Okay.
All you right. also only score points when you have the serve. Like, I could get into the
so it's like
the
volleyball a little
pickleball
bit.
Right
way.
Now, I'm not going to, but yeah, I'm really bummed out about the whole pickleball scene I've seen so far here.
Someone totally who said that, Nate says, that's Zonies for you.
Shout out to Mission Beach, Mission Bay Resort, San Diego Pickleball.
You know, pickleball is becoming such a huge thing that my cousin in Cincinnati, her tennis club, changed all of the courts to pickleball courts. There is no more tennis being played at the tennis club.
I believe it. I believe
that's
it.
That's insane.
Now, I love tennis, too, but a lot of tennis centers at least are creating pickleball courts because
it's popular.
It's all the rage. Hey,
all right. Here's the big five question. Should pickleball be an Olympic sport? Mr. Sam Levitt.
Sure. Sure.
I don't know. I guess if breaking is in it, then pickleball has to be in it.
Yeah, I mean, the bar for Olympic sport does not always rest on, like, unbelievable athletic ability. I mean, I hate to say that because it's the Olympics, but, you know...
They have badminton.
I guess every sport requires some different kind of athletic ability, right?
Of course, yeah.
Pickleball is very athletic. Yeah, why not? It's widespread, global sport, very popular.
I think that's the main
part.
There
is Major League Pickleball. There is, like, the PPA, which is... I don't even know what that stands for. There are like, professional pickleballers now.
The Pickle Players Association? Pickleball Players Association?
Something like that. But, yeah, I'd love it. I'd watch it. Sometimes I'll watch pickleball, like, online.
Get some tips for your own
play. In fact, I know there's a tournament here coming up soon that somebody told me I should go to see pickleball live, which I've never done.
You should go. Why not? That might be fun. All right. Yeah, let's make it a sport, everybody.
Number four.
Travis Kelce ain't done yet. Pat McAfee revealed a text exchange with Travis Kelce confirming he would be back with the Chiefs in 2025. The text read, quote, "My dog, I'm coming back for sure. Gonna try and get into the best shape I've been this offseason and get back to the mountaintop. Got a real bad taste in my mouth with how I played in that last game and how I got the guys ready for battle. I can't go out like that," end quote. "I'm up first. Do you think he has a better year next year?" I do. I do think he has a better year next year. He did not play well in the Super Bowl. I kind of said this at the beginning of the year, but their summer of Swift is already out of the way. He's already done his whole summer where he flies around the world with her. So I believe it. I believe that he's going to work out this entire offseason to try to reclaim the title of being the best tight end in the NFL. I don't know if he can quite be the best, but I do think he's still... top three for sure in the NFL. Sam?
Yeah, I mean, look, it's hard to... How old is he?
He's like in his late 30s. 36, maybe?
Yeah, he's 35. Look, I think it's hard to imagine that he's going to get better. Could he be more productive? Sure. But, you know, he also doesn't need to be the Travis Kelce of 5 years ago in order for the Chiefs to win a Super Bowl, right? To me, I think the Chiefs need to do a better job of putting more around Patrick Mahomes. They've got a great defense. You know, it's just not a super talent. And I know it's hard because Mahomes makes so much money. And it's hard when your quarterback makes a lot of money now. They've got to figure it out because, you know, look, they won two Super Bowls with not a whole lot around them.
Yep.
And now that Kelce is getting older and maybe he's at the finish line, he's just not going to be that guy. Got to do a better job. So I don't think they can't win if Kelce isn't better, but I find it hard to believe that Kelce in a 13th season is all of a sudden going to find the fountain of youth.
That's fair. It is fair. I do like watching Travis Kelce play, but this year was a struggle. He was a step slow all season long. And in the Super Bowl, I mean, you know how those people do those breakdowns, Sam, like fans go and get all the film? whoever did this breakdown did a really good job of
he
making looks
slow.
You look terrible.
Yep. There were. I saw that video where
he missed the block,
he was just,
and he let Patrick Mahomes
blocking,
get killed.
Yeah, in those blocking schemes, he was just slow. He was just slow getting out of the break and
all.
Yeah,
that.
It was not the break, but getting out of the
getting out of the stance.
Stance.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Again, I don't know that he needs to be the Travis Kelce of old in order for the Chiefs to be really, really good.
All right, last thing on this. Dan said something really funny on the chat. He found the Fountain of Swift. That's why he sucks now. That's pretty good.
Nah, I like Taylor Swift.
I do too.
Number three.
I'm cool with Taylor.
And I've said this on many occasions. I think their love is real. I don't think that's staged whatsoever. It can't be. You can't just pretend like you're dating someone.
Put it this way. You would never, ever, ever find me booing Taylor Swift at a Super Bowl.
Oh, I wouldn't Ever. Either. I wouldn't either.
I would give her a standing ovation. Standing ovation for Miss Swift.
There are rumors the 2026 NBA All-Star festivities will focus all on Taylor Swift. No, I'm just kidding. They are going to change once again, and it's rumored there is going to be a one-on-one tournament for $1 million. Suns Kevin Durant said he would want to play for $1 million and referenced Jason Tatum, Kyrie Irving, also Joel Embiid, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, and Giannis Antetokounmpo, guys that he would want to play. Now, he also said, I have no idea if I would win this thing, but I would definitely want to play it. Sam, would you be into this one-on-one for $1 million?
I would, although my prediction on this, if it happens, is that no players that you actually want to see play are going to play in that tournament.
You're probably right. It's going to be all the
because
the
I don't think
warmers.
Anybody wants to lose. I don't think anybody wants to look bad. I think there's a case to be made that one-on-one, there are probably guys in the league that aren't nearly as good NBA players that probably could beat guys that are much better NBA players one-on-one. Because I think it's two totally different things. My prediction is it's going to be like the dunk contest. I think a lot of guys don't want to play, don't want to be ridiculed if they lose, don't want to lose those games. I like the idea. It'd be new and entertaining, but I just predict you're going to have trouble getting the participation you want. I really wish they would just do away with all this stuff. Just play an all-star game. Even if it's not great, even like this whole idea, like it was brutal to watch. I was casually watching. I had no idea what was going on.
Well, they changed the
format. As somebody who didn't really follow the format switch, I found it unbelievably confusing. I was casually watching. It was impossible to know what was going on.
I agree
with
you.
Make an East team, make a West team, play the game, stop trying to recreate the wheel. It'll be what it is. It's an all-star game. It is what it is.
Yeah,
we used to have all-star games that were like not that competitive for a while. Then things would kind of turn up in the fourth quarter. Like, you could do that again. It doesn't need to be this like unbelievable 48-minute game.
I'm with you. The NBA, I do like that they try new things because they do. And they ditch the things that don't work, and they try to improve the things that do. This one, I don't care about seeing guys play for $1 million. They already make so much money. Why do I care about them playing for $1 million?
Look. If they could get stars to play one-on-one, and I mean stars, like having
like
Kevin Durant
Steph?
Play against Giannis.
Yeah.
Having Anthony Edwards play against
SGA.
You know, Jalen Brunson. SGA playing against Luka. LeBron, take your pick. Then I think that's worth watching for sure. But I just have a funny feeling that a lot of these guys don't want to play. I will say this, though. Baseball has, at this point, I think the best All-Star festivities. Home Run Derby is still really good. And the All-Star game is still competitive. Guys, baseball, you can't not try. You know, it's one of those sports, you can't not try. So, it's competitive. You see guys trying. I think baseball's got it right now as far as the best All-Star format, which is good for them.
I think you're right, and it's kind of strange. The sport that plays the most games does the best with an added week, basically.
Number two.
Former Laker, now Maverick, Max Christie has spoken out about what it was like to be in the whirlwind Luka Doncic trade. He said, quote, "If you look at the magnitude of that trade, it magnifies that emotion. So I was shocked, man. I was on the floor in the hotel room for 2 hours just thinking about what was going on. I eventually came to my senses, obviously, and had to put one foot in front of the other and think about what I needed to do next," end quote. I'm at first, do you have sympathy for these players who are traded? Because commenters on social media do not have sympathy. I do have sympathy for these guys in a certain way. It's a shock to the system. You have to immediately wrap your mind around moving somewhere else, playing on another team. But I'm not going to feel really terrible for them because everybody switches jobs all the time. It's not that big of a deal. But I don't think it's a nothing burger. What do you think?
Yeah, look, I think the easy way out of this question is to say, you know, these guys are making so much money. Like, when am I going to feel bad for you because you got to switch cities to play this game where you make so much money? That would be the really easy answer. Look, there's a human element to this stuff. So, you know, I do feel for those guys, you know, when you have to move your family. You know, it's a shock. It's emotional. I get it. So, yes, I do have some sympathy, although I will admit that they're going to be just fine. And day to day, you know, people
You're
deal
still
with,
playing
with
in the
far
NBA.
Worse.
Yeah. Yes, that is very true.
Number one.
All right. The PGA Tour has moved to the East Coast. In the Cognizant Classic, Jake Knapp had 12 birdies en route to the 15th sub-60 round on the PGA Tour in history. Now, one of our listeners, Michael, asked me on Twitter. He asked me a different question. I'm going to ask two questions. What would we shoot on a PGA Tour course from the tips? And then he asked, would we break 60 if we putted on each green from the farthest point away? Sam doesn't play, so I'll just go with this. I thought this was going to be a Tony question, too. What would I shoot on a PGA Tour course from the tips? I played one course in San Francisco called Lake Merced, and it was set up for an LPGA Tour tournament. And I shot 128. I don't think that people realize how difficult a PGA Tour golf course is. You're not just carrying 200 and something yards or 180 yards. You're carrying 300 yards at certain points. And so 128 was my score. Now, the putting thing, I'm a pretty good putter. And if you have 18 holes, sub 60, I could probably do the putting under 60, because I am a good lag putter and all that, but 59 is insane. Insane. Like, I cannot believe that a human being is able to do that. All right, that's it for the Big Five. On the other side, recapping today's Padres game, and we'll find out where Tony is on 97.3 The Fan.